Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in McCutcheon.
Would be a little weird.
Did Dan Mullen show up there for a second? What just happened? Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com.
I feel like that's getting into like some Curly from the Three Stooges.
Next time I see you, I'm going to try to poke you in the eye. You got to throw that up, you know. So just put the thing in the middle there so I can't get to you.
By the way, I checked a few weeks ago. Three Stooges still hilarious.
Still hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
I mean, we're like almost 100 years since that happened.
Somehow avoided like racial controversy and all. They're just funny. So, yeah. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Firing up the grill for a couple of steaks, there's just nothing better this summer. Getting into football, and that's going to be the time you're going to be tailgating, cooking out. Make sure beef is the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. You are looking for great interlocking gear. You are looking for the kind of stuff that looks new but still has that classic feel. They've got that at College Corner. The logos that you want mixed in with the new styles that you're looking for. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town. It's always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. We love lunch at Restaurant Tyler. It's just one of our favorite things. I love a great blue plate, and I think the best one in town is easily at Restaurant Tyler. I'm a blackened catfish guy. It's a little more health conscious for me. If I was going to blow it out, fried catfish, fried chicken, those are definitely great choices. Robbie, you know, he's a little slimmer. He's got a little bit better physique, so he can go with those fried catfish that, you know, I'm jealous when I watch him eat. I'm just like, I want fried catfish.
But you could eat fried catfish.
I do eat fried catfish, but, you know, sometimes, like, you know, the problem is you can eat fried catfish, but then when you want to go mac and cheese and cheese grits, now we're pushing it.
At some point, if you're going to have, you know, Coke Zero, and I know you talk about it has zero calories or whatever. If you're going to have that plus mac and cheese and grits, somewhere in there, you got to cut.
Yeah, that's where.
Yeah, I got it.
There's no calories in Coke Zero. I don't have to cut any calories from that. I can drink all that I want.
Well, no, you can't actually drink all that you want.
I'm drinking water.
I mean, there's a lot of things that don't have calories in them that are still really bad for you.
Right. I mean, but yeah, I wouldn't drink gasoline.
You said Coke Zero is like drinking water?
Like drinking water. It's like juice. It's better than juice. It's no calories. Juice has calories. It's got sugar in it.
Yeah, it might as well be water.
Yeah. Coke Zero. It's all it is, so.
Health expert Dr. Brian H. Haydad.
It's not H.
Well, I made it H.
Okay. What does the H stand for in your world?
I don't know. I'll come up with something.
Okay, I want to know what that is by the end of the... Do I share a middle name with Jesus?
No.
Okay. Jesus, you know.
I don't think that's his middle name.
I don't think it is either, but I'm just saying, so. Priority One Bank, 16 locations. I can't wait to learn what my new middle name is. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to somebody who knows you and knows your money. You need somebody who's providing a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Horatio?
Sure. Brian Horatio Webster Haydad.
The big train. Let's go. I like that. All right.
Hell yeah.
Only two SEC previews left, so we know who today is. It's the Ole Miss Rebels. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But let's start here. Halfway through this preseason camp, 2 weeks away from the start of the college football season, we came into this camp with some questions. I think we did a show about this. Like, what do we want to learn? What questions do we have going into this camp? Here we are, Robbie, at the halfway point. What do you feel like you have answers to at this point in camp?
I think that we have answers to the fact that Mississippi State should have quality depth. We knew that the numbers went up. We knew that that was going to be a big deal. It kind of stood out to me when listening to Jeff Levy's press conference the other day after the second training camp, when he talked about how many more plays they could run in a scrimmage this year opposed to last year. They had to cut the scrimmage at 80 plays last year at this point because they just didn't have the bodies. This past week, they ran a scrimmage 110 plus plays. So you're talking about 20, 25 more plays this year than they could run last year in just a scrimmage. That's significant. That's 20 to 25 more reps that players get. That's a big deal. So I think that without question, we know now that Mississippi State, not only do they have the bodies, they have quality bodies. They've feel like they have players when you go into the three deep that can help you. And one of the points he made in that same interview was he felt like there were 9 to 10 guys on the defensive line. Now, I think he was including some of the Jacks in that because he had mentioned Malik Sylla and Brandon Jennings. But those guys are extension of the defensive line.
I think those guys can play with their hand in the ground if need be for a
And if
player.
not, they're standing up on the line of scrimmage more often than not. So I kind of add them into that group, but he feels like there's 9 or 10 guys that what he said could play winning football in this league. That I don't think that he's just giving lip service on that. I think he really believes that they do have that many, which is you're talking about almost three deep on a defensive line at that point. And that's big. You bring somebody out of the ball game, you bring a Travion Williams out and bring somebody else in behind him that you feel like is going to give you a good rep or two. That's a big deal. Mississippi State didn't have that last year. So that to me is what is was a big takeaway. One of the things I was really looking forward to learning about was the offensive line and were these additions that they brought in seriously
Where I was
going
going to
to
go. So,
compete?
yeah, I'm with you on this.
So we're hearing about Blake Steen starting on the offensive line. We're hearing about Flapjack Owens at least competing to start. That's what I wanted. I don't know if those guys are going to be the starters. I don't know if they're going to be significant impact players. I feel like they will. But whenever you enter the spring and Jeff Lebby starts talking about he's concerned about the offensive line, if you go out and you go get players in the spring to hopefully fix that. It needs to start showing up early, and it did. Blake Steen and Zach Owens immediately kind of jumped out at you. When you go out to practice and you see guys like that, you can kind of tell. And then you hear about those guys are running with the ones. I wanted that question to be answered. I don't know if we're there yet, but I think like we're moving in that direction. I don't know what the offensive line is going to look like yet. But I feel like there's enough options there on the line that you should be able to find five guys by the middle of the season that you feel like can block for you pretty well.
I think one thing, somebody on your message board put this out there. Very interesting that last year, apparently, Mississippi State had one of the smallest offensive lines in college football. And in the short time that he's been here, Phil Loetholdt has turned that into, I think, the fourth biggest offensive line. And something we've talked We've heard from Lebby and Loetholdt and from others is that this mantra of big people move little people. And, you know, if you saw the highlights of Triple Mania and you saw Omos versus Micro Man, you know exactly what we're talking about here. Big people do, in fact, move little people. So.
Which played right into our conversation we had the other day that I went off the rails on the King Kong Bundy and
Yes.
Little Tokyo and all.
Yeah. It's like they were listening. So the O line, you know, I knew you knew that Steen was going to be a guy who instantly contributed, right? Played power football. There was no way he wasn't going to be one of your starters. Owens, I was hopeful would be, and it looks like he's working his way into that rotation. I have big hopes for Jimothy Lewis. You know, I talked to some people even last year who said, "Look, that's a guy that if he puts everything together, there's an NFL player there." So I'm hopeful that that can go ahead and be the case.
And it kind of feels like he's starting to lock down that left tackle spot for that.
It does. It does. And I feel like that's a good thing for Mississippi State. One of my biggest questions coming into this preseason was the receiver rotation and how was that going to play out? You know, and I do, you know, I see Jordan Mosley's name a lot. I hear a lot that he's probably, I think he ends up being a starter week one. Is he a starter week 10? I don't know the answer to that question. Brennan Thompson, I don't think there was a lot of doubt that he was going to end up being a starter. Anthony Evans feels like he's gonna lock down that slot position, which is going to make him the betting favorite to be that, you know, 60, 70, 80 catch guy in this offense. But one question I don't feel like I have a great hold on, and you can tell me if you agree or disagree, is what that rotation looks like. You know, this isn't like the air raid where they're going to rotate 9, 10 receivers, right? It's going to be maybe 6, 7 guys tops. I think I know the top three guys, and I just mentioned them as we go into the first week. I don't know if I know who 4 through 7 are for Mississippi State right now. I haven't heard enough of Aiden Williams' name to make me super confident what he's going to provide this year. I've seen, you know, Marcus Allen mentioned. I've seen Jerron Glover mentioned a few times here and there. But I don't feel like I have a great feel on what that rotation is going to be.
No, me neither. And you know, I do wonder how it shakes out before it's all said and done. I mean, we heard the same stuff with Jordan Mosley last year, so I'm hoping it all comes together for him. It wasn't like a great year for him, and he kind of started fading a little bit as far as rotation is concerned. So maybe he can really go out strong because all the players love him, they respect him. He's been a leader for that room for the last couple of years. He had a hot start last year. We just didn't see that hold up consistently.
Right.
But
And I think
that's one
part of
of the
that was Chapin getting hurt.
probably so, yeah. The connection that he had with Chapin probably stronger than what he had with Van Buren. But you need him to finish strong here. And I mean, a lot of people have said like you don't need him to be your like one of your top receivers or whatever, but you really need him to play at his highest level, and it kind of lifts up the rest of the wide receiver group. Like,
Right.
if he's really good, then that can't be a bad thing for you. You know, this is a guy that's coming into his fifth year or whatever. I mean, he's a leader on the team, and he's played a lot of football. So if he's really good this year, I don't see how that's a bad thing for you. But I think what we've heard is there is a clear like top three in that room. I think right now, if I could put my life savings on it, I would probably say if a gun was held to my head and it was cocked back and about to blow my brains
If I
out.
was going to drop an atomic bomb on your house that would only affect not only the people in the house, but everybody related to you by blood would somehow magically be vaporized at the same time, how would you answer this question?
My top three in
Yeah.
that situation, in
Yeah.
the doomsday situation, in
Yes, that I
Armageddon
just
that we're
laid
about
out.
to experience,
Right.
the top three I think would be Anthony Evans, Jordan Mosley, and Brennan Thompson. I think that's clearly been the guys that have been head and shoulders above everybody else. Like I have not heard about any other wide receiver on this team more than I have those three. And then you start talking about the guys behind them. Because you're going to need those players too. So, what does that look like? Is this going to be a breakout season for Sanfrisco McGee? Because I'm hearing a lot about him lately. We've seen him in a lot of these highlights.
I was
Like,
just going to say, he shows up in the highlights a lot.
So he could be a guy that, I mean, he might not be your number three or number four, but he could be a guy that makes some plays for you and helps you this year. That there's some potential in that room. That's the good thing about it is I look at it and there's not a lot of proven like commodities there.
Right.
Your top three right now is Jordan Mosley, who last year was the first year he ever caught what, more than like 10 passes. Brennan Thompson, who had was kind of a big play guy, but he has not put in a large volume of catches. And then Anthony Evans, who hasn't done a whole lot yet either. All three are talented, especially Thompson and Evans. I think they have game-breaking potential. They're very talented. Aiden Williams, we've seen flashes from him, but these players have got to be consistently good for Mississippi State to be good this year. And I wonder what that looks like, but I like the potential in that group. Like even a Cam Thompson, who's not a guy that's going to blow you away as far as his production, you know he has speed. You know he has the ability to do something. Marcus Allen, they have the ability. It's just about settling into roles. And also wonder what the running game could do for this group. If the blocking's really good and the running backs are really productive and it turns into big plays down the field, that could offset a lot of that lack of experience. They're going to have a lot of one-on-one opportunities. They're going to have their chances to kind of break out in this offense. There's not going to be a ton of pressure on that group if you're able to run the football the way that they want to. So I think all that starts with the offensive line becoming a cohesive unit. And we just don't know yet. There's still battles going on. I feel like if I had to call it today, I think Cannon Boone is probably your starting center. I think he's gotten closer to locking that down. Other than that, I don't know if there's a position that's locked down. I think Jimothy Lewis has begun to kind of clamp down a little bit on a left tackle, but I don't know if there's a position. Blake Steen maybe at right. They're still trying to find the best five. And you got to get that group settled because the running game is such a huge component to this team, and keeping Blake Chapin is such a huge piece too. They have to keep Blake Steen healthy and they have to be able to run block because you have arguably the most talented, at least the deepest running back room you've ever had, I think. I could call out if you put five guys in there right now, I don't think State would miss much of a beat. You know, if you there's five guys in there that if you put them in, I think they could make plays for you at running back. And I don't know if they've ever had that.
That's what I wanted to
So
talk about there. It was that running back position because the reemergence of Seth Davis is an exciting storyline. Right, this is a
yes.
guy that we all saw the horrific injury he suffered in the Egg Bowl 2 years ago in 2023. Sat out all of last year. There was a lot of serious talk from serious people that his football career was over, that he would never play football again.
People within the program
Yes.
that we talked to did not know if he would play again.
Correct. Now this isn't fan chatter. This is real people talking there. And it looks like he's got a role to play. He provides a different skill set than Booth, Bothwell, Daniels do. He can play a little bit more, out on the perimeter, I think. He obviously has that explosive ability. Now, I want to see it for real and not just, in highlight videos. But my goodness, if he is capable of coming back and playing it at the level you expected of him when he was recruited, you got a lot of, never mind depth, you got to answer a question like, do you have to move Xavier Gayton? Like, does
Yeah.
he need to go to defense? Because where are the carries for him?
And like he's not being brought up much. It's kind of the concerning thing is like he's just not being talked about much. And it's almost like I've heard Colin Wilson's name a lot more than him. Like it's almost like he's already kind of pushed ahead of him. And that's your fifth string guy. So I don't know. I don't know what happens there, but Seth Davis, if he is 90% of what he was before, is still a weapon in this offense. Now, I don't know where he eventually gets to. I don't know if it's going to be hard for him to get 100% where he was, cutting ability, the speed, but some clips that I've seen of what he's doing at practice beyond the the highlight clip that we saw on Twitter
Right.
a couple weeks ago. He's really impressive. The cutting is starting to get smoother. He's starting to get a little bit of that quickness back. That's where he could be a serious weapon in this offense. Like I really think that he could be special in this offense.
Could be
So
big in the return game too, you would
he
think.
could. He and this is kind of a wild card. He's not a guy that we've even really
Didn't
discussed.
expect anything from him when we on the start of camp. I was like,
No.
Seth Davis, I expect the same amount of contribution from me. I didn't expect anything from him, and now you're starting to see this.
And you can line him up in space. You can put him in the slot and let him run routes. Like there's so many things you could do with him that could break the game for you. And maybe that's why they haven't really talked about him much. They're trying to keep him under wraps a little bit. They're trying
A
to
secret weapon?
could be. He might be the next Arcedo Clark. Who
Oh
knows?
no.
But no, I really like this room, and I think that at this point, whoever they put out there on the field, I feel like could be productive. If you can just give them a little bit of a seam and give them, a few yards to work with and get downhill, the running game could really roll for Mississippi State this year. I think it's going to be State's bread and butter. I think that they're going to be more run oriented and opening up big pass plays down the field for some play action, maybe some RPOs, things like that. It's going to be a little more run oriented though this year, and
Oh, I agree with that for sure.
it should be built. It's a built around your offensive line and your running backs. You're gonna have a bigger offensive line, more road grading types, and you have a stable of running backs. You should be run heavy this year, and that doesn't mean that's what it's gonna be long term. But Jeff Lebby traditionally has run the football more than he's passed it.
Jeff Lebby would be perfectly happy to be run heavy the rest of his career. He wants
Yeah.
to run the football. One more thing that we talked about preseason that I feel like now we do have a good hold on is who was going to be that second corner. We thought that that was going to be Kelly Jones being the number one guy. Who was going to be alongside him? And we talked about Jetterson yesterday, Jet Jefferson. Every time I read a practice report, every time I talk to somebody at State, every time I talk to anybody, it comes back he's the other guy. And apparently they feel can be pretty good. If State's corners are pretty good, not great, not elite, not Smoot-N Bean, just pretty good, the ceiling for this defense raises significantly.
Yeah, and I think it was Kelly Jones the other day, and he said that they tell the defensive line, I'm like, if y'all could just like for 3 seconds, we can cover anybody for 3 seconds. If y'all can get to the quarterback within that time, we've got you covered. And that's kind of the whole conversation we've been having is a lot of what we thought about the secondary last year was based around the fact that the defensive line was not getting pass rush. If the defensive line can get there, can get to the quarterback within 3 seconds, maybe four, that's pushing it. It's like my dad always used to say, for a quarterback, you got three Mississippi and you better get the ball out. And so that's kind of what you got. They feel like they can cover. Now, long term, like you're going to have to get pressure at some point or somebody's going to get open, but they feel confident that within 3, 4 seconds, they're going to be able to lock somebody down. And I think for sure, I feel confident in Kelly Jones being able to do that. From what I'm hearing, I'm feeling confident that Jet Jefferson's going to be able to do that too. How deep does that go? How deep can you go with those guys? Can Dwight Lewis cover like that? Can those guys get in there and spell Jefferson or Jones?
Who's your
But
nickelback? Who's your third corner in this? Because I'll be honest with Lewis, physically he doesn't look like a slot corner. He doesn't look like a guy
well,
who can get in the slot.
he's built a lot like Kelly
Like Kelly
Jones.
Jones
He's
is, yeah.
built kind of like a safety, but I don't know. It's to me, I think it's gotten clear that Jones and Jefferson are going to be you're one and two, and that's a really solid one and two based on what we're hearing about them. We haven't been able to watch,
Yeah.
but they're really excited about those two. And maybe just maybe that's why they have not been super concerned about defensive back. Maybe they found a guy in Jefferson that's a bit of a steal. I know when they recruited him, they felt like they had a steal,
Yeah.
but you hear that a lot of times, and sometimes it might be true,
A
sometimes it's
lot of
not.
times that's just they're just trying to sell you on the fact that we didn't have anybody else, so we want you
Yeah.
to feel good about this guy.
But people are really excited about him. They think that he's going to be an impact guy for him at corner. I hope he is. If you can really solidify your back end and you got pressure up front, I think this defense has a chance to make a sizable jump.
We will see. All right. So, one last question for you, and however you want to put it. Do you feel like the questions you had coming into camp, do you feel like you have a pretty good feel now about what this team is going to be right now? Or do you feel like you still have some questions that need to be answered before you feel confident in what you think of this team?
It's gotten better, but it's like we talked about yesterday. I mean, until they just get on the field and play, it's hard to know. You're just guessing right now. We're going based off numbers and what we've seen when we walk out on the practice field and we see them stretching and going through drills.
Yeah.
There's just not much that we can go on right now other than that. We know that they've gotten bigger. We know that they've added numbers at just about every position. So the numbers are high. The size differential based on, what we've seen is significant. But just simply being big doesn't win you games in this league. So until they go out there and they show it, it's hard to know.
Just looking at Twitter here, I'm glad that you and I cover Mississippi State and not Cal. Cal named their starting quarterback today, four-star true freshman, Jerron Kiwi Sagapatelli.
No thanks.
I'm just glad that that's not
We
me.
haven't had anybody with a name like that, I don't feel
He'd be
like.
JKS on this show. I just go ahead and let you know. If this was a Cal podcast, we'd be talking about starting quarterback JKS. That's all we'd get out of it.
Yes.
I just saw that come up right. The guy you beat out is a familiar name. Do you remember who Devin Brown is?
I don't.
Devin Brown was recruited by Ole Miss, and somebody wrote an article about him and talked about how much he loved Oxford. And then
Oh, that's him?
that's
Oh my gosh. Jeez. I still remember where I was when I read that article. I was in Pittsburgh.
was like. Oh, well. All right. Let's move into the rest of the show. Speaking of the Rebels, and do our SEC preview on them. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. So, today for lunch, I made my own tacos from some of that leftover pork belly from the other day. And I was just thinking, I was like, this is good, but it's not as good as what they get at Two Brothers and their pork belly taco. It's one of the top tacos you're going to find. We love tacos, and today, as you're listening, is Taco Tuesday. $2 tacos at Two Brothers Smoked Meat. So get over there and enjoy a fantastic lunch, one of their great tacos. But if you don't want a taco, man, they got all sorts of good stuff there on the menu for you to enjoy. And of course, you can always head over to the Older Brother as well for that fancy sandwich. If you want to enjoy a fantastic meal, just take your car, park in the Cotton District, and decide right then. Two Brothers Smoked Meats or the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, something goes wrong, it's the same number, it's the same people. You don't have to worry about being on hold. You don't have to worry about as hey, we get somebody out there in a week to 10 days. Imagine if your copier were to break and they told you it'd be a week to 10 days before somebody can get out there. What are you going to do? You can't live like that. So you need to talk to a company that knows how to take care of their customers, and they've been doing it for 50 years. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. We've been talking about it. It's almost game time. It's time to get a new polo, a new hat, new whatever, and you need to get it at Maroon & Co. If you're going to be here in Starkville, the biggest and best selection in town is going to be at Maroon & Co., and you need to go check them out today. They've got the interlocking stuff that you're looking for. Maroon, white, gray, whatever color you want to wear, they've got you covered. Whatever you're looking for in Mississippi State, Maroon & Co. has it. Online, marooncoco.com. You can use our promo code, THUNDER15, in-store or online. Say 15% off regular price. Next time you're here in Starville, before you go to the game, you need to go to Maroon and Co. It's hot outside. It's time to mow the lawn. You're thinking, ah, gosh, I don't want to be out there all day. You won't be if you can just put yourself to work with a John Deere commercial mower. And they've got great deals on those right now at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. John Deere commercial mowers, compact tractors, gators, whatever it is you need, whatever your property needs, they've got you covered. Doesn't matter what you're doing on a fall Saturday. It's not fall yet, but we're getting there. Doesn't matter if you've got home repair projects, if you're working out in your garden, if you're mowing the grass, or if you're just cooking out. Everything I just listed, there's something that makes it easier, better at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. So before you start the weekend, make a trip to Saltillo to Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They have what you want for yes. This is where I am on the Ole Miss Rebels, Robbie. Then tell me if you agree. They're still a very talented team. I think the ceiling on Simmons is higher than it was on Dart, but the floor is also lower. And then I'm fascinated that they just decided we're confident in our recruiting, our high school recruiting over the last few years. We're going to go with those guys on this defense. We're not going to go out and try to replace Walter Nolan, Princely, and Mammy Ellen as much through the portal as they would have in years past. That being said, last year's team was the most talented team in their school's history, and they still went 9-3. So why would I think they're going to be better than that? Even though their schedule is easy, it's an easy schedule. The schedule, in reality, they should only be an underdog twice. But I have to buy into the idea that last year's team couldn't get more than 9 wins. Why would this team do that? Is that fair?
Yeah, well, here's my thing with them is it's not like you just had a lot of talent and they were young and they, went through mistake. Like you had
These are
a
veterans.
third year starter at quarterback. That entire defensive line had been playing 3, 4, 5 years, not together, but there's an older defensive group. You had, Trey Harris and all those guys. So like it was like one of the older teams in the league too. So my question this year is, and I guess it would go back to last year, was the pressure too much on that team? Were they just expecting, like the expectations were so high, they were expecting too much and it weighed on them? Because they should have very easily could have won every single game they played. They screwed around and they lost to LSU when in the first half, they should have been up by 3 or 4 touchdowns. Screwed around against Kentucky, they screwed around against Florida. They could have won all three of those games. Could have very easily won all three of those games. So is that just what Ole Miss is going to do under Lane Kiffin? They're just going to screw up in a game or two? Or was it that season they just folded under expectations? And I mean, they still won, what, 11 games last year? I mean, it was still a great season, but when you come in expecting the playoffs, you have the roster, you should be a top 10 team, and you don't get it, that to me is disappointing that they didn't reach that potential. So this year, are we going to see a big step back? Are we going to see with a brand new quarterback with the defense? A defense that got wiped out. Look at the front seven talent that they lost.
That's what I'm saying. Like in a normal situation, a team like Ole Miss that isn't a four-star, five-star, top five recruiting team every year, right? Loses a 3-year starter at quarterback, its leading rusher, its leading receiver, three starters on the O-line, and all that talent on defense. And we would be saying, they're really going to take a big step back. They're going to be like 5-7, 4-8 this year. But Kiffin, we buy into him. And we think, okay, well, they'll be good because he's there.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll see. So let's just go through this. Georgia State, that's obviously a win. I think they'll beat Kentucky in week two. I do think that. I thought they'd beat Kentucky last year. This is a tough first road start for Austin Simmons. Kentucky,
Yeah.
again, just same as they were last year. They're not going to be intimidated by Ole Miss. Stoops, being a defensive guy, is going to set up a game plan to go after him. Kentucky is an underrated, hostile place to play. When that gets going, that place is tough to play. Again, I think Ole Miss will win, but man, that's a good litmus test in week two, I think.
It is. They should win because I just think Kentucky's going to be bad, and obviously going to be hyped up for this game, having lost to them last year.
Yes.
I think they'll win, but it is a little bit of a, it could be a stub your toe type game for sure.
I think they'll win the next week against Arkansas. But as you and I both know, that is traditionally a very wacky game. Last year's game was a blowout, but it was still wacky in that Ole Miss went up to Arkansas a week after they had played Mississippi State and had just dominated them. And Ole Miss puts up 60 points and 700 yards, and Dart throws for almost 500 yards on them. Again, I think they'll win, but they'll, you know, this is last year, Ole Miss, you didn't know what they were the first 4 weeks of the season. They played four terrible non-conference teams. They beat the hell out of all of them. Their fans were thinking, okay, we're on our way to the national title. And then they played Kentucky and got punched in the mouth, and they couldn't handle it. This is different. You're playing these two SEC games. You're going to know what you are pretty early with Ole Miss, I think.
Kentucky is a weird matchup for them because they'll make you get out of your comfort zone. They can scheme it up defensively, and that's what they did. They got Ole Miss uncomfortable. That's what you have to do. The defense has got to get them off track. If a team can get them off track offensively, off their schedule, that's when things get hairy for them. That's what Kentucky and Arkansas is going to have to do the same thing.
Should be 4-0 again.
Should be.
Tulane, though,
Tulane's an interesting game, but they
not a
should win.
pushover. They're not a pushover. And then they have their first real test when they host LSU. 2 years ago, one of the best college football games of the year in that one. Ole Miss came from what? They were down 9 with 5 minutes to go and ended up winning the game. LSU should be 4-1 when this game happens. I think they'll lose to Clemson, but I'm sorry, 3-1. But they should win their next three. I think they'll beat Florida. Should be a big game. Should be 2:30 kick. This is the same week that Georgia Alabama is already locked in for the night game. Arkansas Notre Dame is your 11 a.m. game. You get State Tennessee, Auburn A&M. Massive weekend of college football. I like the Tigers here, though. I just think that last year was, you know, as you mentioned, Ole Miss probably should have won that game, but they didn't. I feel like this LSU team is better, and this Ole Miss team is not as good. I think LSU wins this one.
I might have picked Ole Miss in this game. I'm kind of shifting a little bit on this. I hadn't heard anything spectacular out of Ole Miss just yet, and maybe it's just, quiet confidence and stuff, but LSU I think should be really good. And so with a veteran quarterback, I'm kind of shifting. I think I did pick Ole Miss to win this game against LSU, but I think I'm changing my mind on this. I think LSU wins this game. I think their defense will be much better this year. You have a quarterback that now has played a lot of football. Last year, he was still kind of shaky in this game, but this was kind of the game where I thought he took a turn. If you remember that game, like late in the ball game, he really started to, like, it looked like he was possessed. He was making some plays that were just wild. So I think when Nussmeier, I think he's taking that next step. I'm going to give him the edge in this game going into what's probably going to be a tough environment.
All right, so 4-1, off week, hosting Washington State. That's a win for the Rebels.
This is
At
a difficult stretch here.
this is where their season comes with win or lose. At Georgia, I mean, you got to think Georgia is going to be out for blood in this game, right?
And
I
last
think
time they played at Georgia, it was
was
not
not
pretty.
pretty. And that was the game where Golding kind of realized he's like, we've got to go in the portal and spend big to get elite defensive linemen. And it worked. They beat Georgia last year. Now those guys are gone. And if Cam Franklin and Xavier Harris and what's that guy's name? The other, William Echols aren't good to go, you're in trouble there. Who are you thinking?
I
Beavers?
was thinking about the Umanaminab, his younger
Oh,
brother.
Prince Will, Umanimi-Allen. Yeah, it's gonna be
But I
tough.
guess he's probably more like kind of a linebacker, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's. Yeah, I'll take Georgia to win.
I'm very interested in like the strategy for them this year was we're gonna go with the guys that are already here. Like it's their time, like Echols and Cam Franklin and those guys, because they have stacked some good players in the previous classes for the defensive line. And like, I don't think they really were out to go out and get the same caliber players that they did with Walter Nolan, there really weren't a lot of those type players in the transfer portal either. But this year, it's like built around we're sticking with these guys. We feel like it's their time to shine. So that's going to be interesting to see. Like, does Cam Franklin have a breakthrough season? Does William Echols have a breakthrough season? That's going to be really interesting. I think that's what it hinges on for their defense this year.
So Georgia loss at Oklahoma. I just don't buy into Oklahoma. So I think Ole Miss can win this one.
I don't really buy into Oklahoma,
But it's a
but
tough game.
tough
And
place to
still on the
win.
road.
They're going to have a really good quarterback. I think Mateer is going to be really good. I think the offense is going to be better. I think the defense is going to be better. I'm going to go Oklahoma in this game. With it being on the road, tough
Oh.
environment, I think that's you got
Okay.
a first-year starter at quarterback. I think
You've got them
Oklahoma can win
five
this
and
game.
three. I've got
I
them
didn't think that
6-6.
Oklahoma was that far off last year against Ole Miss.
They had the lead at the half, and then they couldn't do anything offensively. Ole Miss just unleashed their pass rush on them. I have them losing the next week, though, when South Carolina comes to town. I feel like Sellers will be able to. I think they'll be able to run the football on Ole Miss because they just. What happened last year is that defensive line just ate South Carolina up. Well, those guys are gone. And again, Ole Miss last year lost a game at home they should not have lost. This is in my opinion, a less talented Ole Miss team. I think they lose this game. I think they lose to South Carolina.
I could see it. I definitely have upset alert in this game. And I mean, I don't know if it's that much of an upset because people are high on South Carolina. It would be for me. So I'm going to go Ole Miss in this game. I think they win this game. I
Okay.
just don't trust South Carolina on the road. They're very tough at home. That's become one of the most underrated environments in the country. I thought last year that would have been an interesting game against Ole Miss, and it just wasn't. I can't take them on the road. I just don't see it.
Okay. They'll obviously beat the Citadel. What
The
about this
fighting
game?
Lamonuses.
That's right. What about this game with Florida, November the 15th?
Very interesting game. I think it all hinges on the health of DJ Lagway at
It
this
doesn't look
point.
good as we sit here today.
This is a very interesting game that I keep forgetting about. I think Ole Miss, they should be able to win, but Florida is a more talented team this year than
I
they
think
were
so.
last. They picked up a little bit of momentum. To me, it all depends on where Florida is mindset wise at this point in the year. I think I'm going to go with Ole Miss in this game, but Lagway was 100% the reason that Florida beat Ole Miss last year. If he is healthy and he's playing good football, then he could very well win this game again.
I have Florida. I have Ole Miss winning this game as well. I don't buy into Florida. This is the thing. Like, the two teams I think are going to fire their coach for sure at the end of the season, Florida and Oklahoma, are both on Ole Miss's schedule.
But what
So,
about Arkansas?
Arkansas is another one. Yeah. So, and then the Egg Bowl. I mean, as it sits here right now, you can't look at this game and say that State's going to win. You just can't do it today. You know, when I get
Anybody
to
that does is just being a
it's
homer.
just being they
And
don't want to pick. I get it. I get that. So,
yeah.
that's 9-3. Both of us 9-3. I thought you might go 8-4 because of South Carolina, because I had them beating Oklahoma. When you said Oklahoma, I thought you would go 8-4.
I actually think that Ole Miss is going to be just as good record-wise this year. I think they're going to slide slightly under the radar because they lost what they did. But Kiffin's at the point now where, like, you know, 8 wins feels like the floor for them,
Right.
like every year.
Right.
Like that, it feels like he's recruiting well enough. He's got a program that's working. His offense obviously works. It just feels like they're going to be at worst 8. They're just not going to have many years where they're just going to be way down. I just don't see it. And I think a lot of last year had to do with the fact that they let expectations just beat them. It just ate them alive. I think they overlooked Kentucky. I think by the time they played Florida, it felt like things were kind of slipping for them, and there was a lot of pressure on them to win that. LSU, they struggle every year they go there. That's been a place that's been difficult for everybody, but especially it's been difficult for them.
Yes.
I think this team is going to be better than people think because they still have talented players, even on the defense, but they're going to take a step back statistically. And who knows, the offense could be better. I thought the offense underperformed by a lot. I didn't think they were anywhere close to their potential, because even in some of the games that they won that were relatively close or whatever, the defense was kind of carrying the weight. The running game was not where they wanted it to be. You had everybody screaming at Kiffin about Ulysses Bentley and all that. You know, they always seem, Kiffin always seems to find a way to do something. Hugh Freeze used to do that. Like that, there was always something that was holding them back.
Freeze would always drop one that he shouldn't have every year.
And blame it on an assistant coach or
Right.
quarterback or
Kiffin
something.
at least doesn't do that, but he does drop one. He has dropped one, I guess, except for 2 years ago when they went to the Peach Bowl. Who do they lose? They lost to Georgia and Alabama that year. That's the only two teams they lost to. That was a good year for them. But other than that, yeah, there's been a game every year where you're like, what are they doing? They should have had no business losing this game. And we'll see. You know, they could very easily be 8-4, 7-5, and somebody beat them that you talk about shouldn't have beaten them. Like if they have let's say that in your opinion, they lose to Georgia, they lose to LSU, let's say they lose that Oklahoma game. They lose one of South Carolina, Oklahoma, Florida, right? That's
Yeah.
acceptable. They lose two of that. You're still good. You lose all three, and people are going to be like, what happened? Because that's also you've lost four out of five there because you have the Citadel breaking that up. So we'll see. Should be another good year in Oxford. Take
As
that.
we talk about Ole Miss, we have the Memphis Athletics account is trolling Ole Miss for the women's soccer team beat them last night for the third straight year, apparently. And there's a GIF or video that they've found from somewhere where it's like Bully is coming into the Kroger or someplace with the black bear,
Yeah, I see this. Yeah.
and the bear is like falling down. This is incredible. I've never seen this video.
I'll have to watch it as soon as we get off the air here. So let's just do that. All right, tomorrow's the rumblings. You know what to do. Get the questions in. Robbie, you want to fire off the tweet? We'll be set to go. And we'll do that tomorrow. Talk to you then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.